Let's read together Isaiah chapter 42. In this chapter, we have the great contrast between the coming Messiah, the perfect servant of the Lord, and the nation of Israel, the imperfect servant of the Lord. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning with verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah 42, with some background notes. At the end of Isaiah chapter 41, the Lord had challenged the nations concerning their idolatry and the failure of their foolish worship of idols. Now here in chapter 42, the nations are challenged to consider the coming Messiah of Israel, the servant of the Lord, who will bring justice to the world, something the idols could never do. We find that the term my servant is used in the book of Isaiah four different ways, depending on the context. My servant can sometimes refer to the whole nation of Israel, as we saw back in chapter 41, verses 8 and 9. My servant can also refer to just the godly remnant of the nation, as we will see in chapter 43 and verse 10. A third servant of the Lord in the book of Isaiah is Cyrus the Persian, as we will see in chapters 44 and 45. The exact terms used there are my shepherd in chapter 44 and my anointed in chapter 45. A fourth and primary way in which the term my servant is used in the book of Isaiah is in reference to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In fact, there are four servant songs in Isaiah exalting this perfect servant of the Lord. The first servant song is here in Isaiah chapter 42. The second servant song we'll see in chapter 49. The third servant song is in chapter 50. And the fourth servant song, which is the most well-known servant song, is in chapters 52 and 53 of Isaiah. Here in chapter 42, we have the first of the servant songs, and it is contained in verses 1 through 4, the verses that we just read, and extends down to verse 9 of the chapter. In verses 1 through 4, the Lord speaks about his perfect servant, and then speaks directly to his perfect servant in verses 5 through 9. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Isaiah chapter 42. Doctrinal point number one, Jesus, the perfect servant, fulfilled his mission. Jesus, the perfect servant, fulfilled his mission. Now, it doesn't take much insight to realize that verses 1 through 4 of Isaiah 42 are talking about the coming Messiah, who would be Jesus. In fact, Matthew quotes these verses in reference to Christ. Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. The point of these verses is that the perfect servant would be gentle and gracious. He would not come with a lot of fanfare and ostentatious display. And he would not burn out, but he would completely fulfill his mission. Verse 4, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. He would establish justice in the earth for all nations. This, of course, will be at our Lord's second coming. Now, in verses 5 through 9, the Lord speaks directly to his perfect servant. Let's read these verses. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 9. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 9. The fact that God, in verse 5, refers to himself as the one who created and stretched out the heavens may have something to say in reference to the way God created the fabric of space and the stretching out of light waves during creation week. In verse 6, we see that the mission of God's servant would be to both Israel and the Gentile nations. Verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Some of our Lord's miracles we have in verse 7. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And in verses 8 and 9, the Lord's glory is contrasted with that of the lifeless idols who cannot tell a future. All that the true prophets had predicted in the past had come to pass. And all that Isaiah was predicting now about the Messiah would also come true. Verses 8 and 9, once again, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. In verses 10 through 13, the call goes out for a new song of praise to be sung to the Lord by everyone because of the perfect servant's ministry, which will benefit the whole earth. Verses 10 through 13. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Verses 10 through 13. Notice in verse 13 that the perfect servant's ministry will include the judgment of all enemies. This will take place at our Lord's second coming. Now in verses 14 through 17, the Lord revealed that he had been quiet for a long time, but in the future, he would both judge the wicked and lead his people into the light. Let's read these verses, verses 14 through 17. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make rivers coastlands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, you are our gods. This prophecy had an historical aspect to its fulfillment when God brought his people back from the Babylonian captivity. But it will only be completely fulfilled in the future when the Lord returns and judges the nations and leads the godly remnant of Jewish believers into his established earthly kingdom. Then all will agree that Jesus, the perfect servant, fulfilled his mission. Doctrinal point number 2. Israel, the imperfect servant, failed its mission. Israel, the imperfect servant, failed its mission. Verses 18 through 25. Let's read verses 18 through 20. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear? Now, don't confuse the servant here in verses 18 and 19 with the servant of verse 1. There in verse 1, we have the Messiah, the perfect servant. Here in verses 18 and 19, we have the nation of Israel, the imperfect servant. God considered Israel as blind and deaf. Israel was supposed to be God's messenger to the world as his servant, but she had failed because she was blind and deaf to the message, namely the great and glorious law of God. Verse 21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. As a result of failure, Israel herself was plundered and incapacitated. Verse 22, but this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one says restore. And Israel was not responding to the discipline of God. Verses 23 through 25, who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to robbers? Was it not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore he has poured on him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. Verses 23 through 25. Israel was not responding to the discipline of God. Israel, the imperfect servant, failed its mission. Now, what about practical application from Isaiah chapter 42? Let the Lord fan your flame. Let the Lord fan your flame. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. A bruised reed he will not break. But of course, I changed the spelling of reed from R-E-E-D to R-E-I-D, my own name. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Seriously speaking, Isaiah 42, verse 3, is a wonderfully encouraging verse for all of us. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. You feel like you're a dying ember sometimes? You're not on fire for the Lord like you used to be? You're facing burnout? You feel like only a spark remains? Listen, let the Lord fan your flame. He knows just what to do in your life to gently coax a spark back to a small flame and then fan the small flame back to a useful fire. That's the idea. But you must turn your problem over to the Lord and ask him to fan your flame. Let the Lord fan your flame.